Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Doing this February 21st, 2010. My name is Phil Armstrong, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about Bible prophecy. Actually, tonight we're going to be talking about conspiratorial view of history. Conspiratorial view of history. Jesus Christ was given up by conspiracy, and we must keep that in mind. Every time someone uses the word conspiracy, they go the other way. It's conspiracy to throw your son a surprise birthday party or your daughter a graduation truck because you're trying to hide the fact and surprise them because you know surprise is good. Sometimes conspiracy could be a good thing. Sometimes conspiracy can be a bad thing. So when you hear the conspiratorial view of history, you must not run, but you must come to the light. Because believe it or not, a lot of conspiratorial views can get you to the gospel in many ways. And let me explain. There are conspiratorial views to educate your child in the way that the state wants them to go. If we give our child the notion that evolution was the truth and it will set you free, then we will act like animals and run our government like animals. But if we come to the light and say that there is a creator, then there is responsibility to that creator that we must do the right thing. And believe it or not, even in my life, being the head and not the tail has always been more better and more peaceful to me than being the tail. I don't want to be nobody's butt. So we must actually ask ourselves a question, whether you rather be led or would you rather lead? Would you rather be free and give your kids the opportunity to go to the colleges that they want to be in? Or do you want to be in bondage? Well, you make the call on that one. When we come back, we're going to talk to you about Israel and the coming war in the Middle East. And boy, is it getting heated up. Every day it's more news that we have to keep our eyes on. We'll be back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming.
had his habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. I'm going to right now play a clip for you, and I want y'all to just listen. We are responsible to Jesus Christ no matter what the case is. We are responsible no matter what condition we are in physically. We are responsible to maintain that faith. If you had faith forever and you've been say for 25 years, and on the 26th year you get cancer, you hold your ground with Jesus, but as time goes on, you start to change your theological viewpoint of salvation. Are you responsible? What if you have Alzheimer's? Now, Alzheimer's is a different thing. Alzheimer's, God will serve. He only knows when he's going to use. I believe a person with Alzheimer's is a different story. So I'm not using this as an excuse for this next person I'm going to. But this person does not have Alzheimer's. It has Parkinson's disease. So when you look at, when you listen to this next, this tape, it's going to last 9 minutes, so I'm keep cutting it off and on. Hopefully you can hear it. You got Billy Graham and you got Robert Schuller. Now I'm going into murky territories, but I'm going to prove a point in a second. No matter who you are, if you deny Christ, you're not going to heaven. I don't care if you're the greatest preacher ever in the history of the world. Now, if you're sick, you should get off. If somebody should tell you, you need to sit down. So I've heard somebody make this excuse for this individual. And it does not matter, me and you or whoever. If we deny Christ out in the public, we're really in bad shape. So I'm gonna go ahead and play this. Hopefully y'all can hear it.
Billy Graham.
What's going on?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
Actually, that's the wrong one. Let me play another one.
Believe in Christ. They believe they will meet Christ. What about those like the Jews, the Muslims, who don't believe that?
That's the problem, man. I can't be the judge.
You don't judge them?
No.
You know, how do you feel when,
going to hell? And,
how do you feel when you see a lot of these strong Christian leaders go on television and say, you are condemned. You will live in hell if you do not accept Jesus Christ. And they're forceful and judgmental.
Well, they have a right to say that they are their truth to a certain extent, but I don't. That's not my calling. My calling is to preach the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the fact that He does forgive us. That's what the cross is all about, what the resurrection is all about. That's the gospel. And you can get off on all kinds of different side trails. And in my earlier ministry, I did the same. But as I got older, I guess I became more mellow and more forgiving and more loving. And the Jerry Falwells and people like that, I love them. I thank God for their ministry. They have a great university. And two of my grandchildren know now, have a tremendous change in their lives for being there. And some of the other people are the same way, but on the other end of the extreme. My little neighbor here in New York years ago preached against me or spoke against me. I loved him with all my heart. I went to see him. And all these people.
Okay, that was Billy Graham saying that he cannot make any judgment on anybody, which he's right. Definitely right. We are told we are not the ultimate judge. We're not to send people to hell on our own merit. However, if there was any truth merit that we have on this earth, this is the word of God. And in Romans chapter 6, God is asking, should we sin that grace may abound? Should we sin that grace look better? Said, certainly not. And then he goes on to talk about who we're slave to, then we're going to act for. So when we're slave to Jesus, we're going to act what Jesus wants us to act like. If we're slaves to the devil, we're going to act like the devil wants us to act. My question is, how do you tell the difference? If we go by Billy Graham's gospel, how do we tell the difference between who is saved and who is unsaved? Where is the light? Are we decided? The lukewarm church in Laodicea, what makes them different from the Philadelphia church in Laodicea? How can you tell? This is why people are called hypocrites in the church, because Billy Graham could say what he just said. I cannot judge anyone because we make judgments every day as Americans, as human beings. We make judgments. Even our kids make judgments. If our kid leaves the house and he remembers or she remembers mama or daddy telling him to watch both ways before you keep going, we have to trust that they're going to make the right decision, because we cannot always be with our child at every moment. If he goes to school, we have to trust that that child is going to make the right judgment. Now, human beings make judgments. If there's a yellow light and you're going to either push through that yellow light or you're going to stop, we make judgments every day. Is this hot? Should I put the baby in this water, or should I run it a little bit more cooler? Should I put more salt on my meat, or should I just chill out? Because it's going to be too salty for my husband who has high blood pressure. We have to make judgments every day. But we cannot make the ultimate judgment on mankind. That's Jesus to make. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We must live separate from the world. And if you look at Moses and the Israelites, they came out of Egypt. That is a mirror of how we're supposed to come out of the world. It says in Colossians chapter 3 that we should not be pulled and yanked by the world, but we should come out of the world and be different from the world. We need to be heavenly, not too much heavenly minded. We know earthly good, but I don't even think there's a such thing as that. Because when Jesus said, love your neighbors as yourself, when he said, what is the two top commandments? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second one, love the neighbor as yourself. If you do those two, you're not going to, there's no way There's no way that you're going to be being too heavenly minded that you know earthly good. There's no way. That's just an oxymoron. But we must, at the same time, think, what is the Christian's conduct? See, the Christian, if you talk to your sister on the phone, and you can almost agree, and she's not saved, and you can agree with every, you talk to, I'll give you a certain amount of time. I'll give you 5 months. You just got in touch with your sister. And it took you her 5 months to find out that you were Christian, you got problems. You say, that's not written in the book. It's not in the, I can probably show you in the Bible, of course. But what I'm saying is your salt or your light is going to have to shine through that phone. You can't mingle with the world and expect to be right with God. It does not exist. Mingling with the world does not exist. You cannot cohabitate. You can only influence society. I tell my daughter this. I say, look, if you're around a group of people and you are supposed to be saved, right? You're supposed to be saved. And they are always influencing you into the world system. Or they're always influencing you to, hey, go over there and talk to that boy for me, and blah, 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 blah. Or did you see that girl's shirt? If there's a point where you don't stand up and say, you know what, you're wrong. You are straight up wrong. Then you have, I pray that you can have enough sense. I tell my daughter, I say, you need to be the right one in this one. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and briefly talk about this chat room, because here's the deal with the chat room. We normally have a lot more people in this. I got very deterred, so I really didn't send too many invitations out. When people come into the chat room, and this is from last week, I didn't read the chat room all the way. I was sort of, my attention was on the interview. But it turns out that the chat room, people in the chat room were terrible 2 weeks in a row. I look at it like this, folks. If I'm preaching the gospel, the true gospel, then I'm expecting things to happen in the chat room that's going to be sort of devilish. I'll say it again. If I'm preaching the right gospel, I'm expecting total opposition. And I get that almost every week. And I'm pretty sure in the two-hour show, I'm going to get something coming in tonight. I don't care if a Muslim listens in. Just do not try to proselyte. Do not try to preach your stuff. I don't care if anybody's listening. I don't care what you've done in the past or what you're doing now. God is going to talk to you. But the minute you open up your mouth, I'm going to shoot you off because I'm getting tired of it. Every week, it's something else. Okay, these guys called in, and they have no religion or nothing. They just called in, and they were talking about, I can't even repeat what they're talking about. They weren't a religious person. They were just saying some of the most stupid stuff you can think about. And that's not going to happen anymore. But anyway, yes, You can stick around, but I got the chat room right in my face, so I bounce people off. I really don't care anymore. So Hotcakes 45, you good? I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, as far as if you listened to my show a couple of weeks ago, that's fine. But I don't take any callers no more unless I know exactly who you are. And the minute someone opens up their mouth the wrong way, they're getting popped off. I'm just letting you know. Because pretty soon I'm going to start taping for national, and I'm not going to respond to the chat room. I'm just going to respond inward, because I'm going to be taping these shows to fix them up for my national television radio show, excuse me. And I'm not going to have the time to talk to anyone in the chat room. So and Ralph Apperson is going to be our guest. Ralph Apperson, is a historian, an author, and lecturer who has been researching to the conspiratorial view of history, the view that major events of the past have been planned years in advance by certain conspiracies for 40 years. So he's been studying this for 40 years. We had him on the show two shows ago, and that was a doggone excellent show. So I'm waiting for him to call in, and we're going to try to, we're going to have some fun tonight. And like I say, I'm not going to be addressing the chat room as much. I'll try to do it as much as I can, but when I get into these conversations, I'm looking at the chat room, but I may not answer as many questions. So we're going to take a little break, and after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more, and then hopefully my guests will be on site. We'll be back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Okay, we're back. We are going to be looking for our guests to come in a few minutes, but let me talk to y'all about the Middle East and what's going on in the Middle East. It's getting very hot. See, the general public has no idea, and a lot of things are happening. I was looking at Daniel's timeline, and if you don't know what Daniel Timeline is, go on YouTube and type Daniel Timeline up on your screen, and it should take you to the video. Watch it, preferably the one on Google's, and watch it, and it's going to give you a look at a nice setup of why we are in a certain time that we're in history. We need to look at what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He said, this generation should not pass. The generation that he was referring to was the generation that would see Israel become a nation. I don't believe he was referring to the year that they took back Jerusalem. I think pretty much that he was talking about when Israel will become a nation again. In the Bible, I'm pretty sure you can pinpoint an 80-year generation because it would be a cycle of two 40-year generations, but you would have to really work hard for it. But there are 70-year generations, and there are 70-year time periods that God has ordained in history. And 1948, if you add 70 years to that, you get 2018. So that's something to keep in mind. He said, this generation shall not pass. And I believe God is strictly sharp on using his numbers. And he's going to use his numbers to a T. Israel, believe it or not, was formed in a day. The Bible says a nation shall be formed in a day. And that's exactly in history that God ordained Israel to be born again. He says in Hosea that after 2 days will revive you, on the third day he shall raise us up. It says in Peter, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as of a day. So in Peter's time, what he was talking about is that to Jesus Christ, to God himself, a day is 1,000 years. And it has been 2,000 years since Jesus has risen from the dead and went up to heaven. So 1948, once again, I'm going to say that again, 1948 is the time period. If you count 70 years up, you get to 2018. Now, is the tribulation period going to start this year? We have no idea. Is it going to start next year? We have no idea. But it's not going too far. Either God is going to do something. Let me talk about 2012. Either God is going to make a mockery of it, or he's going to pull his people out at that time. Or he's going to pass it, and nothing happens. Many things can happen, because even the Bible talks about scoffers. He can actually come a little bit later than even most Christians are looking for him to come. So we don't know what he's going to do. But my best guess, folks, and I've been wrong in the past, and I like being wrong because I can at least preach the gospel to somebody else. This is a dying generation. If you look at the TV, if you look at the television, if you look at the music, the culture is dying off, spiritually dying off. And some people are physically dying off. I have a few people who have died in car wrecks, and a few cousins have gotten shot in at clubs, and friends have gotten shot. And so the culture is dying off, slowly but surely. And you already know my take if you listen to my show, Slow Death from the Government. Anybody who does not try to go in and see, they can go to your restaurant, your local restaurant, and tell you what you can and cannot do if you're going to start a restaurant. But your tap water is dirty and filthy. Say, well, you're just an alarmist. Yeah, I am an alarmist. Yes, definitely. I'm a big-time alarmist. I am a big-time alarmist. So we need to keep that straight. I do not answer any phone calls, and so my guests and the people that I actually notice. And if you do want to, you can go back and listen to some of my old shows, and you probably wonder, you probably know exactly why I don't answer any phone calls. And as far as the chat room is concerned, I'm going to be on it. Okay, so if anybody listens to these archives or listen to me live and decide they want to come into the chat room, I'm going to be on it. But I enjoy and I appreciate people who are going to come on the chat room and just chat. You know, don't bring on pornography, talking about little kids and all this other crap. I mean, God will see you. I remember my son told my older daughter, Daddy will see me. I've seen him all right with a belt. He thinks I don't know what possessed him that he was going to get away with it. But see, God will see you. You know, God will save you first, because I want anybody that's interfered with my shows in the last year, God will save you. You probably be the main one getting saved. You know who I fear? I fear the person who has no idea that they cannot go to heaven by just doing nothing. You say, well, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by works. But see, if I love my wife, it's going to manifest. If I love my kids, it's going to manifest. If I care about the people out here, and if I care about the people who are out here in Blog Talk land, it's going to manifest. If I just want to be heard, trust me, I can change my show around where I can just be heard. I'm not going to give you all the gaga goo goo stuff that people want to suck their thumbs in today's church world and enjoy hearing the pastor talk about getting more money. The Bible even talks about they think riches is a form of godliness. It's not. You can be poor as a rock. Does God want you poor? How do you know? What does God want? I came into the world with no money. Unless my parents had a few bucks. So how much more are you going to tell me I'm supposed to be rich? You're supposed to get you with God. God wants you to have money. God loves you. He wants you to have money. Where did it say that at? Jesus never talked about that. God does not want, he doesn't care if you're rich. Trust me, if he cares about the basic utensils of a bird hitting the ground, yeah, he cares about you. He cares about you. He does not care. I'm going to bring my guest on in a minute, but just let me rant for about 3 more minutes, and I'll bring my guest on. But God does not care if you're rich. He can take you as a poor person and do more with you than a rich person, unless the rich person can get out his head out of his butt and go out and preach the gospel, spend some of his money. They too busy on Hawaii, going to Hawaii or going to doggone Bermuda trying to get a suntan or buy this new Rolls Royce. They don't have the time to preach the gospel. The poor person always has the time to preach the gospel. Why is that? Of all the people, I've never seen a rich person come up to me in church and say, girl, you want soul winning tonight? Now, when I say poor person, I'm talking about just the average Joe. God, it says in Corinthians that God chooses the poor of the world to confound the wise. God, the people that God chooses is not the people the rest of the world is going to choose. See, we think the people that God is going to choose is the rich. That's why we think a president, a former president, oh, he's president, he'll never be in hell. Oh, we think a movie star. We don't never think. That's why I'm saying when somebody dies, as a Christian, you mourn for the family right away, and you mourn for the people. Well, Michael Jackson, I believe it or not, I'm like, wow. The fans. But the second thing you always think about, I hope he was right. Is that a good place to be? Yeah, because you need to go talk to the other person next to you. You need to go talk to the person at the store, person sitting next to you at work. You need to talk to the person on the bus with you. Because nobody, whoever hits hell first, you'll never know, because you don't know the gospel fully. And that's sad, because the person that you could have been witnessing to, and I'm talking about myself too, the person we could have been witnessing to, died 2 weeks later. Wow. Well, anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on, Ralph Apperson. If you go back and listen to my older shows, the two shows ago, I think it was the 7th of February, awesome show. I'm hopefully I didn't keep him too long, but let me bring him on. Ralph?
Yes, I'm there.
I'm there.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing fine, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm sorry I kind of brought you on a little bit later, but I
That's
kind of
fine.
Went to...
I am.
Okay, let's get started today. Let's recap what we talked about the last time.
Well, you'll have to help me with this. I think we probably talked about America's Secret Destiny. Was that it? And the,
yes, sir.
The Constitution is null and void. We don't have one anymore. It's gone.
Yep.
Supreme Court overturned it.
Yep.
It's been eliminated. Our government knows that.
Yep.
And that might be what we talked about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, what would you like to go in what direction right now?
Well, that we could continue with that.
Yes, sir.
Because this is really important, because if I'm right, we're not living under the Constitution, and we need to know that, and so we can live accordingly.
Yes.
That might be a good place to start. It might even be good just kind of briefly review what we talked about for those who have never heard this before. We weren't listening the time I was on the program.
Yeah.
Want to get into that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, let's start with this. I think I started with this. It might be a good place to review. There's a gentleman by the name of Philip Berg who's asking the Supreme Court of the United States to rule on whether or not Barack Obama was legally eligible or is legally eligible to become president of the United States. Of course, he's already been inaugurated, but is he qualified under the Constitution? The Constitution of the United States says that the president shall be natural born, which means he has to be born inside the United States. He can't be born in a foreign land, because if he is, like Schwarzenegger was, Arnold Schwarzenegger can't become president, even though he, by the way, I've heard him say that. He knows that. He can't be, because he's not natural born. He was born in Austria, and we'll cover that again in a little while. So let's go back now to point out that Barack Obama, there's evidence, I believe it's overwhelming, that he was born in Kenya when he was, his mother and father both went there to see the family in Kenya, which is an African nation. And while he was there, while the parents were there, Barack Obama was born. He doesn't need a birth certificate because he doesn't have an American birth certificate, and you've got to have one to become a president of the United States. Now, they're covering that up, and you could argue, well, they're trying to or not doing it. But anyway, the Supreme Court has not given Mr. Berg an answer. Back around the inauguration of 2009, I called in as a guest, as a caller on a guest appearance of his, and said, I thanked him and told him that I appreciate what he was doing because I agreed with him, and the Constitution says that he's got to be a natural born, and he's not. So then I said, Mr. Berg, do you have an answer? Now, Berg had filed that sometime in 2008, so it was quite likely about a year or maybe even two before that that he tried to get the Supreme Court to rule, and for 2 years or so or whatever, it's been a year and a half, wherever it was, they still haven't ruled. So I said to Mr. Berg, let me tell you why, Mr. Berg, you're not going to get an answer. He said, well, why is that? I said, Mr. Berg, you don't know me. My name is Ralph Epperson. I'm a researcher and a historian. I've written books on this. I've done the research. And I know that the Constitution has been overturned by a Supreme Court decision in 1938 called the Erie Railroad versus Tompkins case. And I know that you as an attorney know how to find Supreme Court decisions because you look in there all the time. So I would like to urge you to go find the Erie Railroad case and look at it and read it, and you'll discover the Constitution is null and void. So I said, now please call me, and we need to talk. And once you do that, I'll give you further evidence that I'm right, because I know you're leaving in a few minutes. But the station knows me. I'll give you my phone number and name, and you can call me at your convenience. Yes. He said, I will do that. Well, he never did. 6 months later, in June of last year, this year, I got in again, and I said, on another program, as a caller, and I said, Mr. Berg, do you have an answer? He said, no. I said, well, once again, you're not going to get an answer. Please understand. I know you want to get one, but you're not going to because the Supreme Court has ruled. And we talked again, and I tried to explain to him. And I said, once again, call me. He never has. Now it's over a year since Barack Obama was inaugurated, and there's still no answer out of the Supreme Court.
Okay, can I interrupt you right quick? Could you go ahead and address one of the participants in the chat room about where was he born again?
He was born in Kenya. By the way, let's give you some evidence of that. His mother was pregnant when she went there to Kenya with her husband, and while he was there, Barack Obama's grandmother, a natural born citizen of Kenya, testified that Barack Obama was born, and his brother's half brother and half sister also testified. That's three people. There's a talk show interview done like from Cleveland, Ohio, where the talk show host got the ambassador from Kenya or some official in the Kenyan government, and he said that they were building a monument to commemorate the fact that the President of the United States was born in Kenya.
Oh.
That's pretty convincing evidence when the family says he was.
Yes.
So if he was born, there's no constitutional authority. He cannot be born because the Constitution says you got to be natural born, meaning born in the United States. Now, Schwarzenegger, as I pointed out, was born in Austria. I've seen him on TV interviews where he says he'd love to be president. He has often thought about running, but he says that since I'm not natural born, I can't be president. So apparently Schwarzenegger does not know the Constitution's null and void. Now, what does that mean to us? Let me tell you what it means to us. Let me try to explain to you why this country's in trouble. We're going someplace, and our founding fathers were directing us to where we're going. And they did so back in 1782. Now, this is the next part of the thing is the back of the dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that's listening can get a copy of it out and have one there in their hand and look at the back side of the dollar bill, and let's talk about those symbols. And when I do, I love to ask whoever's got a dollar bill. Of course, I'm not in touch with your listeners, so I don't know what they're doing, but I would say that if I asked them personally and in person to identify and tell me what all those symbols mean, the answer would be, I have no idea, Ralph. I don't even know what it is. But notice, this is our money. We carry these things in our wallet all day long. Most of the time, it's about, generally it's about the only piece of paper currency I've got is one of those. Uh-huh. So I don't have the big ones, the big bills, but we've got it. Why don't we know? It's our money. No, it's not our money. By the way, on the front side, it tells you whose money it is. It says a Federal Reserve note, so it doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to the government because the Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a lie. That's another story. Maybe we'll cover that a little later. So anyway, let's go to the backside now. Tell you why this country's in trouble, where we're going. And Barack Obama wants it to go there. That's the point. And we'll get that. That's why he's elected and inaugurated, and he'll never be questioned by the Supreme Court, in my opinion. Never, ever. They'll never give an answer. They're going to just wait, and finally Mr. Burr's going to go away.
Now, is there a TV in your background?
No, I'm just sitting here. I got my personal computer on, but it's not. There's no sound. What, can you hear something?
Well, I did. It's off now.
Okay. Well, whatever it was, it's okay. I don't think it's me. Okay. Now let's go to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of us don't read that, but I'm telling you, we should. It's very interesting. We're going to go back to 1787. Actually, 1776 first, and we're going to talk about the founding of this nation. And we're going to explain that our founding fathers lied to us. Oh, don't say that, Ralph, please. I've got friends of mine that say that's wrong, Ralph. I said, well, let's read the Constitution and Declaration together as well. And they won't do it. Why? Because they're afraid that I'm right. It's that bad. Now, let's go to the Declaration. If you've got a copy or can get one real quick, get it in front of you, and let's read together in the second paragraph, and we'll go down to the bottom of the second paragraph. The paragraph starts, we hold these truths, but down at the bottom it says, the history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations. Now, the word usurpations means violations of our freedoms. So they're guilty of injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states.
Now where did you say that was again?
That's in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, issued July the 4th, 1776.
Okay.
Do you have a copy there, Phil? Is that it?
Well, I have the Constitution, but I don't.
Okay, well, you need the Declaration if you got it. And then we'll get to the Constitution.
Yeah.
So hold it. Don't put it away.
Okay,
we'll read it in a minute.
Okay, yeah, the Declaration of Independence. Now, you said what? What was it again? The second.
You have a copy?
Yeah.
I understand you have a copy.
Yeah.
Okay, go. Notice the paragraph. It starts, "We hold these truths." You find that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now go to the in my copy, it's a long paragraph, probably 25 lines. And go down to the bottom of it, the fourth line from the bottom. Well, maybe it's different than yours, but it's reached the history of the present king. Can you find that? Way down to the bottom of that paragraph. "We hold these truths," and later on it says, "the history of the present king of Great Britain." Not yet, huh? You see it?
Yeah.
Keep reading. It's down the very bottom.
Okay, at the bottom of the whole thing?
No, bottom of the paragraph. It's
at the bottom of the paragraph. Okay, I'm way over here. Okay, bottom of the paragraph. Okay, go for it.
Okay, it says, "The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states." Now notice, let's talk about what is the definition of tyranny. It's been the definition for 6,000 years.
Yeah.
Total government. Unlimited government. Whatever the king wants, he gets. He's the king.
Yeah.
If he wants to legalize cannibalism, he can do it. He's the king. If he wants to legalize off with your head on Thursdays, he can do it. He's the king. If he wants to steal your property, he can do it. He'll get a law, and they'll steal your property. He's the king.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about. Tyranny is, by definition, absolute power. But notice our founding fathers said it was an absolute tyranny, which means it's an absolute, absolute power. You can't make your case bigger than that.
Yes,
as broad as it. Did you find it yet, Phil? You got the history of the press? Okay, good. Now let's go to the... Then it read the next sentence. It reads, after the last words of these over these states, it reads, "To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." So now we're going to list about 30 examples of how King George was setting up a total, absolute tyranny over these states.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is going to be a little harder to find, but go down to where you read. There's about 30 of these. So down to about the 22nd one, it reads, "Force suspending our own legislatures." Look down. Can you find it?
Yeah, I see the fours, yeah.
Okay, do you see where it says force suspending? Yeah. Keep looking.
Yeah.
Force suspending our own legislatures.
Yes.
Okay, you got that. Okay, so King George was guilty of suspending our own legislatures, our own governments that pass laws. Legislatures create laws, pass laws, and declaring themselves, meaning the British, the king, invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, they said that he was creating a tyranny. Tyrannies are done in legislatures, and here they're giving the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. There's no Magna Carta, no Bill of Rights, no Constitution. It's whatever the king wants, the legislature passes. That's called an absolute tyranny. It's the very definition of it.
Yeah.
So King George was creating an absolute tyranny. But notice the words. Please, it's very important. The power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. That is the definition of tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Magna Carta. Wait a minute. You can't pass a law about like that. The Constitution says Congress shall pass no law in certain areas. What do you mean? No. If the king wants to, he's going to.
No.
But no, it says here, in all cases, the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever, according to our founding fathers, is the very definition of tyranny. And they said he's creating an absolute tyranny in these states, in a legislature. Now let's go to the Constitution. 11 years later, our founding fathers sat down and wrote a Constitution. It's called the Constitution of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Now, they were going to, I don't want a condition. Let's just talk about evidence. The founding fathers decided to divide the power of government into three branches, the legislative, the judicial, and the executive. Legislative is going to pass the laws, executive is going to enforce the laws, and the judicial is going to interpret the laws and find, you know, decide who's guilty of law.
Yeah.
So let's go now to Article 1, which creates the legislative branch of government.
Yeah.
Article 1, you with me? Let's read
sir.
The very first paragraph, Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted.
Uh-huh.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, what does it mean, herein? Someplace in this document, herein, there's going to be powers granted.
Yeah.
Which means you're going to have the power to do whatever they want you to do, but it's going to be spelled out herein. So now let's go to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution.
Okay.
And we're going to read where those powers are granted and delegated.
Yeah.
Article 1, Section 8. You with me?
Uh-huh.
Did you find that? Let's read that. It says, powers granted to Congress. The Congress shall have power too. And then it lists 18 specific powers.
Yep.
Okay, the first one is, I'm going to do this very quickly, just go down the line. To lay and collect taxes. Number two, to borrow money. Number three, regulate commerce. Number four, naturalization. Number five, coin money. Number six, punish counterfeiters. Seven, establish post offices. Eight, promote arts and science, etc. Number nine, constitute tribunals inferior, meaning the district courts and federal courts, whatever. Tenth, to define, punish piracy. Number 11, to declare war. 12, to raise an army. 13, to provide and maintain a navy. Number 14, to make rules for government, etc. Land and naval forces. Number 15, call forth militia. Number 16, to provide for organizing the militia, etc. Now, we're going to skip number 17 for a minute. And then number 18 reads, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing, meaning the ones above, powers. So if the power is listed, we got it. You got your power. You want to declare war, you got the power. We can do that. That's power. But if you want, okay, well, let's just take it step by step.
Yeah.
Now, where did I read in that list of powers the power to tax us, Phil, for stem cell research? Did you hear that in there?
Nope.
Do you think the founding fathers would have known what that was? I don't even know today what it is. What's stem cell research? But Congress is funding it. They're taxing us for it. Wait a minute. It says herein granted. It's got to be listed. It's not listed. Okay, what about the trips to the moon, landing on the moon? Where's that? Did I mention that in there? No. I didn't hear anything about there. Would the founding fathers have even considered such a thing? I'd love to talk about this. Let's just say that we have the have the right to time travel, you and I, Phil, and we go back to the founding fathers and their convention of 1787 and say, gentlemen, we're from the future. And here's some proof that we are, just so you know we're not lying to you. We're here from the year 2010. And we want you, in the year 2010, we're going to be able to do stem cell research, and we want you to write that in there, delegate the power, so we can do that in the year 2010. And they say, what is that? No, you seem to understand. That's something you know about because it's we do it and you know about it. No, we have no idea what you're talking about. Isn't that reasonable? They would not have known what stem cell research was. Oh, no, then we want to, we're going to build a space telescope. What's that? What's space? We have space in the closet and space in the kitchen and space in the bathroom and in the bedroom. But what are you talking about space? What are you talking about when you say moonwalks? What do you mean moon? You can't get to the moon. You can't walk. There's no way. The horses can't take you. They had no idea. So in other words, it's not delegated. They don't have the power. We just read, herein granted. It's not herein granted. So now I'm asking you, listeners, when you get a chance to meet your congressman or your senator or your mayor or your city council, ask them, where's the delegated power?
Yeah.
It says here and granted. Power's delegated. It's not listed. Where is the power for Obama to consider this piece of socialized medicine? Where is it? Nancy Pelosi says that she's got the power. Well, I ask her, where's the delegated power? Where is it? It's not listed. It's not delegated.
Yes.
Now, let's read now the 17th one.
Okay.
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Please find this. Everyone that's listening, find this. Article 1, Section 8, powers granted to Congress. And now let's go down to the 17th one. Congress shall have the power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever. What? Wait, what? What do you mean? Didn't we just read those words in the Declaration? 1776? That King George was guilty of creating a power, a totalitarian, tyranny after tyranny with the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. That's the definition. But here they're giving it to Congress. What? Why would they do that? Excuse me, Founding Fathers, hold on. Please explain that to me. Congress shall have the power to do what King George was just doing. The same identical words. Why? Why, America? Please, we better ask and find out. Because there's no answer. Why would they do this to us? They just gave Congress total, unlimited, despotic, tyrannical power. There's no limit to that power. We just said that. But they gave it to Congress. Why? Why would they do that? These were great noble men. No, they weren't. They were tricking us. They were hiding it in plain sight. I've talked to people that are constitutional experts, have never seen this. Why? Because we're not taught the Constitution. Congress has total power. They can fund stem cell research and fund this legislation, and they can go to the moon and give money away to foreign lands and build airplanes that'll be way expensive, and whatever they want to do, it's theirs. They've got the power. And we're going to show you how that power has been accepted by us. So Congress does not have the delegated power to fund stem cell research or trips to the moon or space telescopes. But notice they limit it to some place and only one place. Let's keep reading. To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may by session of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of government of the United States. Wait a minute.
Yep.
We were called the United States of America. What's this United States? Is there a difference? You bet there is. So Congress has absolute dictatorial, tyrannical power in Washington, D.C., and only there. Only there. Now, it's called the government of the United States. You and I live in the United States of America. You understand? There's a difference. There's the United States, which is Washington, D.C., and everybody else in the United States of America lives in a state of the United States of America. When I was born, I'm not going to tell you how long ago it was, but it was 39 years ago. Me and Jack Benny were 39. Well, he's gone now, but I'm the same age he was before he left. So I'm 39. So when I was born, I was called a citizen of the state of Arizona because that's where I was born. And I was also a resident of the state of Arizona. Now, when I moved to California after college, I became a resident of California, a citizen of California. But I was still born in Arizona. I still got a birth certificate. Now, if you're born let's do that step by step. Let's go now. So now, our founding fathers were separating out 10 miles square, calling it the United States, and setting up, giving them total, unlimited, despotic, tyrannical power. the very thing they objected to with King George, what he was doing, they gave it to Congress. And I don't know why. I can tell you why. I'll give you my answer. Now let's go to the 10th Amendment. 10th Amendment, we had to call the Bill of Rights, the last one. I'm flipping my little book here in front of me. Here we go, 10th Amendment, number 10, called States' Rights. But that's not what it is. Okay, everybody find the 10th Amendment, 9-10. That's the 10th Amendment, the last one of the Bill of Rights. The powers not delegated to the United States, meaning Washington, by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states, respectively, or the people. So here they talk about delegated powers. If the power is not delegated, it reserves, it belongs to the people, or the states, or the states.
Yeah.
So in other words, there's no power to delegate it for stem cell research, so the states can do it if they want. If we in Arizona want to fund stem cell research, we're free to do so. But not the federal government, because it's not delegated.
Yeah.
So the first words of the Constitution read that they're granted the powers, and then the 10th Amendment says delegated powers.
Hmm.
Well, okay. I'm asking you, please, start doing this. Take a copy of the Constitution with you when you see your congressman. I don't care. Write to him and say, Congressman, where's the delegated power? Please tell me where it is. The 10th Amendment says if you don't have the power delegated, you don't have it. And I want to know where it is. Am I missing something? Now, I'll tell you why you won't get an answer from me either. Okay, now we got delegated powers in the 10th Amendment. Now let's go to the 13th Amendment. This is really...
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and continue on.
Sure, fine.
Yep.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. wanted to quickly talk real quick about the show today is to bring you abreast about the truth of how governments are ran. I don't know if I'm saying it right 100%, but yeah, in my eyes, that's what it's about. When we let's take, for instance, the last election. Somebody had said that, well, we're supposed to do what the government says. That's true. We're not here. There's not one time that Ralph had said you should rebel against the government. But there is something you need to know, especially those who read the Obama train prior to the election. The Bible says, have not confidence in men. And see, when we put our confidence in Caesar, now God says give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. But when do Caesar become the Antichrist? You know what I'm saying? I mean, when does Caesar, when do we take the okay, I get it now. The radio stations are being asked to put controversial stuff that they do not believe in on their stations. So when does the Christian stand up? When do I stand up? When do you stand up? In the 70s, abortion was legalized. When do you stand up? Does God want abortion? Just because he put somebody in office, he put Adolf Hitler in office. The Bible says no one can get in office unless God put them there. What about Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein is not as evil as a lot of people put him out there to believe. But Adolf Hitler was. Now, when Jesus was here, the leadership of Israel slaughtered babies. When Moses was here, that's why his mama hid him. When do you say, okay, enough is enough? What will possess you to get out your comfort zone and go sit down, lay down and pray? So if you don't want to do it the world, if you don't want to start a riot in the streets and you don't want to start a revolution, get out on your knees and start a revolution. But when does it cause you to respond? I mean, what does it take? The information that Ralph is giving you now? When do we respond? If we get off the couch and stop eating bun-buns and do something, call your congressman. Start a radio program on Blog Talk Radio. Do something. Until you say you do something, then that's fine. You come, you're good. But we're not done until Jesus comes back. So how it's going to make you grow? Probably won't. But the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's also distorted knowledge. So if we on the bandwagon looking for the Savior to come, called Obama or the next president down the line, every doggone 4 years we looking for somebody to help us out of this mess. How about praying? How about calling your congressman? How about going down to your shelter and volunteering? How about starting the radio program? Make your own website. Go talk to the lady sitting next to you on the bus. Go talk to your coworkers. Because believe it or not, an army that is standing still is a vulnerable army. And if you don't move, you're going to get hit. All right, sorry. All right, Ralph, we're back.
You know, there's a claim or call for us to separate church and state. Let's think. Can we talk about that? Can I change direction for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about that. Notice that here in Arizona, there's the state legislature is considering putting the Ten Commandments on a monument in front of the state capitol. Now, what's wrong with that? What are the Ten Commandments? Let's just use one example. It reads, thou shalt not murder. Wait a minute. The government punishes murder, doesn't it? So it tells you not to do that, because if you do, you're going to get punished. We're going to throw you in jail. Now, wait a minute. So then if there's a commandment of God and government enforces that commandment, how can we separate church and state? God says thou shalt not steal. What does that mean? You can't take my property for your own use without my permission. And when you do, I'm going to punish you. Or the state will. It's going to throw you in jail or fine you or do something because of the commandment. You cannot separate church and state. If you separate church and state, who's going to decide what's right? The Ten Commandments are the basis of government. I was taught by God, I don't have the right to take your property. If I don't have the right, and the government doesn't have it, unless I give it to them, and I haven't given it to them. I don't have the power to give it to them. So now, what's wrong with putting the Ten Commandments up there as a reminder to our citizens, don't do these things. Because if you do, the state by that capital right behind us is going to pass a law and say, don't do that. If you do, you get thrown in jail. That's what government's for, is to keep society stable so that you can walk out in the morning and going to walk with your wallet in your pocket and not fear generally of getting robbed and stolen from or go out and get murdered. Because the commandments are told by God. That's what the commandments are for. But there are people in this society that want to separate church and state and let each man decide for himself. Okay, well, I think I'm going to go out and murder 7 people today. I think I just feel like it. And they go out and do it because there's separation of church and state. I'm telling you, America, you don't want this. Why? Because someone's going to decide to murder you. They're going to steal your property. They're going to take your car, take your house, kill your wife, rape her. They don't care. As long as they're free, there's no commandment. If there's no God, there's no state, there's no authority can tell me what to do. That's where we're going. That's what those mean when they say separate church and state. In fact, let's read that. Let's see the First Amendment. Let's read that here. There's something they always forget. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Boy, you bet. I don't want them to pass a law saying Buddhism is illegal or the government, you know, or Mormonism or Methodism, wherever it is. But keep going. It says, or Congress shall pass no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Which means I don't want to abort my baby. I don't want anyone else to abort my baby. I don't want anyone to steal from me. I don't want anybody because of my religion says don't do those things. And I don't want anyone else to do it. Why? Because, last comment, we're free when no one is going to kill us. That's the greatest freedom of all. If we know that we're not going to get murdered on the way to, see grandma, we go out and see grandma. But if we all fear getting shot or butchered or killed or robbed, we're going to stay home and sit with our machine gun. I want to go see grandma. I want to be free to do so. And the reason I'm free is because I can reasonably expect, there certainly are murderers and thieves, but I can reasonably expect I'm going to get to grandma's without someone trying to steal from me or kill me. So we've got the right to exercise thereof. Now, that means that we can put the Ten Commandments in front of our buildings, of our government legislature, because it's a reminder to them as well. Hey, guys, you can't pass a law eliminating the crime of murder because you're separating church and state. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say there's a religion that believes it's okay to sacrifice a baby every Thursday morning. Well, it's their free religion. Who's going to decide that's wrong? The God of the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. It makes sense. That baby has the right to life. You don't have the right to take it. You see what's happened? They only quote part of it, but not the rest of it. That's the problem. Okay, let's get back to the 13th and 14th Amendments. We've just discovered that Congress gave the state government, Washington, D.C., total power. And in Washington, D.C., they can do whatever they jolly well want because they got unlimited power. By the way, that's the reason that the Senate has their own Medicare program and their own retirement program. See? We dummies live in the United States of America. They can give us one type of law, but they can have another because they live in the United States. Okay? They're citizens. Well, we'll cover it in a minute. If you live in Washington, D.C., they've got the power to set up their own program for retirement. You know, a senator, when he retires, I think it's on full salary. When I retired and got my Social Security check, it's not based on my total salary. Never has been. It's a percentage of it. But they get 100%, I think it is. What's wrong with that? Well, they live in the United States. See, that's the difference. Okay, now let's go to the 13th Amendment. This is really important. This was passed after the Civil War. And the reason was, of course, we're going to eliminate slavery. But let's listen. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist inside within the United States. Okay, let's go. What's slavery? Slavery is forcing someone to do something against their will, against their permission. Mm-hmm. And that's what we had in the South. We enslaved black people. So when they freed them, we said, no more slavery. We're going to eliminate slavery. It shall not be a policy of our government, which makes sense. Unless you're a prisoner, then we can enslave you and tell you what to do, what time to get up, what time to eat breakfast, what time to go get medical care, you know, what time to play ping pong, what time to work out, what time to walk in the garden, whatever it is. You're not free. So that's slavery. We can do that because it says except for punishment of crime. But notice involuntary servitude. That means, once again, no one can force you into a contract to do something against your will. Involuntary servitude. Voluntary servitude is still permitted.
Mm-hmm.
You can volunteer to be a slave anytime you want to. That's called freedom. Right? Voluntary servitude is still permitted.
Yeah.
If you want to be a slave, baby, you're free. Just do it. You're free to become a slave. And I'm going to show you how you and I and all the rest of us have become slaves in the 14th Amendment. Now, let's go back now, read the 14th Amendment, passed 1867, I think it was. Let's see if I got it. 1868. Okay, ratified 68. Okay, now let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
All persons, now wait a minute, what's a person? We were born people. We the people. What's a people? We were endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That's what people do. They live by rights, unalienable rights. Let's take it step by step. What does the word right mean? Our founding fathers told us a right is the freedom to act morally without getting permission, which means I have the right to go to church on Sunday. I don't have to go down to my city council and say, gentlemen, I want to go to church on Sunday. Well, you better find out what type of church it is, and we don't allow you to go to certain churches, and we don't want you. What time is it going to be? 9 o'clock. Well, we know you need more sleep in the morning. You better sleep in and go to the 10 o'clock. No, no, I don't need your stinking permission. I got a right. Okay, so I'm called a people, member of the people. Now we're called persons. A person lives by privilege. What's a privilege? It's the right to do what is morally right, but only after permission is granted. What does that mean? I got to go to Phoenix for my job. I drive from Tucson to Phoenix 120 miles every day, and then turn around and come back, and it's a right of mine. No, it's not. It's a privilege. Driving is a privilege. Well, is it? A right can only be taken away because it's unalienable, by the grantor. Well, if God gives you the right, God ain't going to take it away. But only God can. If it's unalienable, it means no government, no majority, no minority, no person, no army, no navy, no one can take away your unalienable right. Now, please understand, we know murder still exists. But the reason we punish it, because you have an unalienable right. And the man who took it has no right to take it. He's going to get punished.
Hmm.
But a privilege is, we grant you the privilege of living, and if we don't want you to live anymore, we take away your privilege. If you don't drive according to our rules and you get up there and too fast or something, we'll take away your privilege because we granted it to you. So all persons, meaning those who live by privilege, born or naturalized in the United States. Now, first of all, the United States is only Washington, D.C., so you're born there, okay? I'm not born in Washington, D.C., and I'm not what's a naturalized? Naturalized. What does it mean to be naturalized? I'll use Schwarzenegger. He's the best example. Everybody knows Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger was born in Austria. So Schwarzenegger, someplace along the line, I don't know when or how, but he says, I want to go to America. And he's maybe because he was going to be a movie star. I don't know. But anyway, he says, they said, listen, I want to go to America. So I presume he went through a quota, meaning there's only 10 people from his native land can come to America every year. And he was the 11th, and finally becomes one of the 10. He's given permission to come, and he's got to meet certain qualifications and have a job and someone take care of him and everything else. That's all fine. He meets up with that. He's allowed to become a legal alien first, and then he becomes a naturalized citizen, which means after 5 years, I think it is, I'm still guessing, but I think it's close, he has to go to a bunch of classes on the Constitution and the law and the democracy and republic and jury duty and everything else. And once he does, he and all the others from other foreign lands all take a flag in their hand. You've seen the pictures. And they all take an oath of office of allegiance to the government of the United States, because you are now a citizen of the United States, meaning you've become a citizen of the most powerful government ever devised by man.
Mm. Yes,
because
indeed.
It's got all power.
Yep.
And you did it. Notice Schwarzenegger did this voluntarily. We can't take him and go to Austria and say, Schwarzenegger, come with us. I don't want to. Come with us. You're going to become a natural. No, no. That would be in violation of the 13th Amendment, because that would be involuntary servitude. Schwarzenegger, we're going to make you a star. No, you're not. I don't want to be a star. Yes, you do. Come with us. In fact, here's a gun. Come. That's involuntary servitude. That's prohibited by the 13th. But voluntary servitude is permitted. Schwarzenegger probably doesn't know this, but he's given his citizenship rights to the most powerful government ever devised by man. Usually kings just ride in and decide, hey, I'm going to take over and wherever I say goes. But notice the King George was doing it through a legislature. Means we're going to pass laws. We'll make it legal. We'll have people deciding. But I'll tell you, if I want to make cannibalism legal, it's going to be cannibalism. It's going to be legal by government decree. So now, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of the other, that's another thing we'll talk about, are citizens of the United States, meaning Washington, D.C., and of the state wherein they reside. So you want to become naturalized in the United States, you can still do it, and you still retain your rights as a citizen of the state of Arizona. But when you become a citizen of the United States, you grant them jurisdiction, which means you don't mind them having total power. Now, how did I do that? I didn't become a naturalized citizen. Yes, I did. Here's where it gets sticky. I went down because I was told, I don't even know who told me, when I was 16, it said, you got to get one of those Social Security numbers. You can't get a job without that. I wanted to go to work at a restaurant part-time when I was in high school. You got to have that Social Security number. Okay, I guess so. I don't know any different. I'm too dumb. So I walked in there, and to the governor of the United States, says, I want one of them cards. Hey, well, good. Sign right here. Voluntarily, because, listen to me, Phil and listeners, there's no law requiring you to get a Social Security card. Show me the law. I want to urge you and all your listeners from now on to become an honorary citizen of Missouri. They don't offer these things. I just grabbed it. I want to be an honorary citizen of Missouri. Why? Because Missouri is called the Show Me State, which means you got this law? Show me. I want to see the law. Show it to me. If you don't got it, then I don't care. I'm not going to, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe some guy in St. Louis says you got this law or this whatever. I want to see it. Show me. Show me the law that says I got to get a Social Security card. There is no law. I'll tell you why in a minute. Now, wait a minute. I got to pay income taxes. Oh, no, you don't. There's no law. There's no law requiring us to pay taxes.
Now, Now let's make this straight though. Jesus in Matthew's gospel said that we should give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God. So we're not saying that we he just holding out there that there is no law. Now let me say this. A lot of this stuff that we're talking about today is big time important because of the time we're in right now. It's been important for a while, but so you know your true history, but the most it's really going to hold a lot of iron in the coming years. And I think a lot of people out there are numb to the times that we're living in. I wouldn't have this program on. It'd be a whole different program if I wasn't to the point of thinking that we're there. We're in the end times, okay. And a lot of the things that Ralph is saying today is going to be important very soon, because the Antichrist, believe it or not, the Bible says he frustrates the saints. We can't say, especially the church world today, oh, we're not going to be here for this, so it doesn't make a difference. Well, we care about the people on the other side. And a lot of this stuff that the Antichrist is going to ask for total worship. And when it comes, it comes. Now, as far as the dollar bill, there's a pyramid on the dollar bill, or the Federal Reserve is not federal, I think we need to really look at this, because all the hoopla on President Obama being elected president, I think people, black African Americans, really don't have any idea that they just messiahized, I just made that up. They put Obama on a pedestal that you come to a point of no return. And when you make him out of a god or something that you're looking for, see, God knows, that's why he put idolatry in the commandments. That's why he put adultery, he warned us in the New Testament about idolatry. And when we have confidence in the arm of man, Jesus said, not by might or muscle, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So we need to be following Jesus. The stuff that we're saying tonight is very important, because if you have 100% belief in the government, we're not saying to jump, default against your loans and stop paying income taxes. But if you don't have an idea what your government is doing, you will never find out what they're capable of doing. And right now, we're in martial law. It's just the lower state. After 9/11, we're definitely in martial law. It only takes a terrorist attack that we should be praying that it does not happen, but it only takes a terrorist attack to change the whole thing. And see, a lot of the things that we're talking about tonight might not, you might not think it's edifying to the church or anything like that, but it is. Because if you think you can trust government, you might at least want to know what they're up to. I mean, not saying you go out and get your guns and rise up against the government. That's going to happen anyway in the tribulation period. That's coming. And I don't think the saints are going to be ones doing it. But I think it's going to be a lot of groups that are rising up against governments and not paying taxes and all this other stuff. What do you think the Antichrist is running after these people for? So the main thing of this ministry is to preach the word of God. Nothing else. But this information we need to know, big time.
Okay, let me respond to your comment about I think it's in what Matthew talks about being submissive to government and let's talk about that. You said
actually it's Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 talks about being totally it didn't say we cannot uphold. I mean, let me say this the right way. It didn't say we cannot have an opinion about our government.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, you can hear a little echo, by the way, on my voice.
Okay,
now let's go back. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Yeah.
When you don't get a Social Security card, you are rendering to Caesar that which is Caesar, because Caesar ain't passed no law. There's no law requiring us to get a Social Security card. So you're obeying the commandment. There's no law. I'm not going to get one. They tricked us and made us believe there's a law. They've tricked us about income taxes. There is no law. I'll give you an example. There's a video out that you can watch, I guess on Google or something. It shows a lady was working for the IRS. She had a gun and a clipboard, and she was driving around the city collecting taxes and getting audits and doing things. And she heard a program that said there's $100,000 for anybody that can find the IRS income tax law. She says, well, wait a minute. Boy, I could sure use $100,000. And she says this on the TV program, on the video. So I decided, since I work for the IRS, I can find the law. I work there. I'll get the law, read it, and I'm going to make $100,000. So she looked and looked and looked and looked and couldn't find it. They couldn't find the law. She checked with her bosses. There's no law. They couldn't find it either. There is no law, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So she said, I can't get the money. I can't get the $100,000 because there is no law. Now, let me tell you, there's no law requiring us to get a Social Security card, no law requiring us to get a pay income taxes, but we do it anyway. Why? Because we believe we have to. Check your 1040 form. I think at least on the one I pay quarterly because I'm self-employed. And the one that I use, 1040ES, says, who must pay the taxes? Citizens of the United States. Well, that's if you're born in Washington, D.C. or naturalized in Washington, D.C. I've done neither. So they have to pay the taxes, but you and I don't. Okay, we're born in the state of Arizona, Michigan, or Ohio, wherever it is. So that's the point. Now, how did we do this? We voluntarily walked in and got a Social Security card. And when we did, we became, in their mind, a naturalized citizen, a citizen of the United States. Now, I'll give you a better example. I live in Arizona, which is Tucson, which is 60 miles north of Mexico. And we go, you know, when I go down there and go shopping, it's fun. And a lot of you buy jewelry, and they make nice, you know, products and clothing and everything else. So you go and you come back. Now, when you come back to the United States, there's no problem getting in. The Mexican government doesn't care. They welcome you. They want you to bring your money, and so that's fine. You walk across the border, you're in. But walking back is a little bit more difficult. Now, I'm going to tell a story about my family. And the three principals in the story are no longer with us. They're all gone. So I'm not going to get them in any trouble. But we drove into Mexico, parked our car, and we're driving back in Nogales, Mexico, into Nogales, Arizona, across the border. And there's a line. We're probably the third car in the back. And so my mother says to my grandmother, they're sitting in the front seat. My brother and I are in the back seat. And my grandmother says to my grandmother, Grandma, please, when we get to the border, since you'd never been to Mexico before, the guy's going to ask you, where were you born? And so now, Grandma, you're Polish. You were born in Poland. Don't say Poland because you don't have your papers to show you can get back in the United States. So just tell them New York, and they'll let you go. So when we got the border, the windows rolled down. Where are you born? My stepfather said Iowa. My mother said New York. My grandmother lied and said New York. I said Arizona. My brother said California. And we were go back home. The question was, where were you born? Now, just 6 months ago, I went across the border to do some shopping. And when I came back, the question is, are you a citizen of the United States? Why? What's changed? Because they're finally calling their debt. They know that you got a Social Security card. You're a citizen of the United States. I'll give you a better example. I was asked to serve on jury duty. And when I did, I went down. I sent the form back. The first question on the form says, Dear Mr. Jefferson, your name has been drawn. There's a fine if you don't go, or at least respond. Please tell us the answers to the following questions. Number one, are you a citizen of the United States? I wrote back, no, I'm not. I was born in there. According to the 14th Amendment, there's only two ways to become a citizen of the United States. Either you're natural born, or you're born in Washington, D.C., or you're naturalized, and I've done neither. So I don't have to come to Jerry. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you later. So I sent it in, and a little while later, I get a phone call. She said, come on in. I said, ma'am, I told you I'm not a citizen. You asked if I am. And if I'm not a citizen, I don't have to serve on jury duty. She said, everybody's a citizen. I said, ma'am, I'm not. I told you why. I'm not a natural-born citizen. I mean, born in Washington, D.C., and I'm not naturalized. Like, I don't have to come in. Come on in. I said, well, you got a fine. Once again, you got the gun. I better do it. So I went in, and I said, okay, I want to talk to a judge. You said I could talk to a judge? Well, you can't talk to a judge. I said, ma'am, you told me I could talk to a judge and clarify this, and he'll dismiss me and go back home. I got work to do. No, you got to wait. So I got called to a jury. First, the group of names selected. My name's in amongst there. So I walked with 25 others across the street to a courtroom, and we got into a little room before the courtroom, and our case was being discussed on a plea bargain. At the last minute, the man decided to take a plea bargain, not have a jury trial, so we were dismissed. But here's what I was going to do.
Yes.
I was going to say to the judge, the first thing he does is says, Ralph Emerson, he calls you, and you sit down in the jury box with 10 others or wherever the number is, and he says, Mr. Emerson, yes, sir. I said, do you have any objections to, what do you do, Mr. Emerson? And then I say, well, before I answer your question, Your Honor, I've got a statement to make. I want to. I have a copy here of the form that I filled out when I was sent to by the jury pool. And the first question is, are you a citizen of the United States? And, Your Honor, I wrote down I'm not a citizen of the United States, and therefore I don't have to serve. And I'm asking you to dismiss me and let me go home. I got work to do. Well, of course you're a citizen. I said, well, Your Honor, let me read you the 14th Amendment. It says that all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States. There's only two ways to become. I got my birth certificate, got a copy of it here. I was born in Tucson, so I'd have to be naturalized, and I've never been naturalized. I'm still a citizen of the state of Arizona. I said, Your Honor, if you have some contract that I signed to make me naturalized, maybe I forgot, and if you so, I'll be happy to look at it, and if I can attest that it's my signature, I'll serve on your jury. And I think you would have said, case dismissed and go home. Thank you very much for coming in. See, they don't want the American people to learn that there's no such thing. That you volunteered and you didn't have to volunteer. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called, we have a Webster's Dictionary that you and I use for defining words, just so we both have the same language. When you say blue, I know what you mean because I can look it up in the dictionary, blue or green or orange or republic or democracy. Okay. Now, the lawyers have a Black's Law Dictionary. It's different. And there's a definition of words called a color of law. Color. A blue is a color. Red's a color. Color of law. And it says that the color of law is, it sounds like a law. People think there's a law, but there's no law. Congress, because it has the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever, has the power to enforce law where there is no law. It's called color of law. And judges know this. They know this. So in other words, Mr. Epperson, I'm demanding, I have the right to see. If I signed a contract of naturalization like Schwarzenegger did, please submit it and I'll look at it. And if I can see that's my signature, I remember I might have done this when I was 16. I don't think I did because I've never declared myself ever to be a citizen of the United States. So, but if I did, please present it. And if they gave me my Social Security card, the papers, and if they could go get them and say, come back on Thursday, we'll have them. And there's nothing on there about becoming a naturalized citizen. It's called color of law. And the judges know this. Now, let's go into the Erie Railroad case. This is interesting as well. How much time we got? We got time. Can I talk about this and how we lost our Constitution?
Yeah, actually,
Bill, you want to do that?
Is that a lot? Is that going to cover the next 20 minutes? Because it might need to be another show if you can.
No, I think we can do it in less than that.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, let's talk about the fact that we have no Constitution anymore. So Obama will not get, Phil Berg will not get an answer because the Constitution requirement that Obama be born in America is no longer valid. Doesn't matter. And they're doing that. And they're taking, okay, I'll tell you why. I want to bring to your attention a man by the name of Howard Freeman. I met Freeman before in the 90s on circuit. We would both speak at a conference or a seminar, or we'd bump into each other at a meeting or conference or something. It was always friendly. How are you? And I didn't see him for probably, you know, a few times, but he remembered me. He was always, okay, Howard Freeman. He came to Tucson back in 1990 approximately. He died in 92, a couple of years later, but he came to Tucson in 1990 and said, I want to speak to your breakfast club. And we gave him, okay. The guy in charge says, come sit down with us, Ralph. Howard's going to talk Friday night just to a bunch of people, six of us, and then we'll talk. I said, great, thank you. So we did. Howard told us two stories. Number one, he was asked to serve as a witness, expert witness, for a young man who didn't pay income taxes. He charged with failure to file. So he's in the courtroom, and he's going to use Howard's expertise on the Constitution. Howard didn't know about Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. He says, I want to read the Supreme Court decision. So the young man asked him the appropriate questions. Howard cited standing Supreme Court decisions that said we don't have to pay taxes. Now, hold on, America. Don't get all excited here. There's a clincher here. We'll finish in a minute. So now, Howard, after he got through citing, I don't know, six or eight cases that said you don't have to pay taxes, the Supreme Court's ruled that. That means it's official. It's the end of the line. It's the buck stops here in the Supreme Court. So he sat down, he told the young man, boy, now you're going to get off free. They're not going to be able to find you guilty. The Supreme Court says you don't have to pay taxes. So now, when the judge turned the case over to the jury, he says, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are to completely disregard the testimony of Howard Freeman. Now, Howard was a very mild-mannered man, and I'm sure he didn't get mad. He probably got something like this. You can't do that. That's about as mad as Howard would get. So he said, Howard says, you can't do that. And he raced around back, caught the judge going into his court, his office across the hall from the courtroom. And he caught him just as he was unlocking the door. He said, Mr. Your Honor, yes, Mr. Freeman, Your Honor, you took an oath to support the Constitution. That's correct. I did. You're a federal judge. That's correct. You have to abide by Supreme Court decisions. How can you declare them to be null and void? By telling the jury to disregard them. You can't do that, he said. Listen to this. He said to Mr. Freeman, the reason I can do that is because all of the cases you just cited were prior to 1938. Well, wait a minute, Your Honor. What happened in 38 to eliminate standing Supreme Court cases that I've memorized and studied for years? He said, the judge said, I've told you too much. And he walked into his office, shut the door, and then locked it. In other words, the case is over. I'm not talking to you anymore, Mr. Freeman. So Mr. Freeman said, well, what is it that happened in 38? If it was a Supreme Court decision, and they're the only ones that could make a ruling like this, I better find out. So he went looking, and he found the Erie Railroad versus Tompkins case. Anyone who can get to a law library can read the case yourself. There it is. Erie Railroad versus Tompkins. Find it and look it up. So now he found it, and sure enough, the Constitution's null and void. Oh, my goodness, why? Now, he doesn't know why, but he's going to tell us the second story. He said that a little while later, and I don't remember how long ago it was. This was back in 90, that's what now, 20 years ago. But anyway, he told us that he got a phone call from a retired state Supreme Court justice, not federal, state. The state of Wyoming, where he lives, has a Supreme Court, just like Arizona does, every state does. And so they're to decide the ultimate decisions on state laws. Okay, now, so he got a call. He said, come on in, Mr. Freeman, I want to talk to you. So little Howard went there, I'm sure, with his hat in his hand, shaking probably. He said, I'm going to meet a retired state Supreme Court justice. And the justice came in. How are you? Good to see you, Howard. Finally, they got past the amenities. And the judge says to him, Mr. Freeman, I've been watching you for years and following your case. And I read your answers in court. And I want to commend you for your knowledge and your wisdom and your courage. But you need to know what I know. What is that? Well, he said, Mr. Freeman, I'm going to tell you a story. But I'm going to ask you to commit right now to never reveal my name to anybody ever. Because if you do, I, as a retired state Supreme Court justice, could get into trouble. Well, how can you get into trouble by telling the truth? I'll tell you why in a minute. We're going there. So he said, okay, Mr. Freeman said, I'm telling you, Your Honor, I promise you I won't do that. And by the way, in 1990, I don't know how long ago that was, but in 1990 he didn't tell us the name of the judge either. And I didn't want to know. It's not important. Okay, here's the judge's story. Now, it's up to you to decide. You're on a jury. Here's what he said. 1938, Franklin Roosevelt called all of us justices together, judges. Now, in 38, apparently the judge, retired state Supreme Court judge, was a federal judge and then appointed up to the Supreme Court. So he's a federal judge. He's called by Franklin Roosevelt, President of the United States, and all the judges came together at a meeting once, someplace. And there they're sitting and listening to Franklin Roosevelt tell them the following story in a very condensed form to make it very specific and you can understand. He said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. And he said, I want to tell you a story. In 1933, I, Franklin Roosevelt, suspended the gold redemption clause on the money of the United States. Now, if you have one of those old bills, you'll find a little note on the upper left-hand corner inside the bill on the front side saying something like, this is to certify there's $10 if it's a $10 bill, $10 deposited at a bank or the Federal Reserve or somebody, and will be payable to the bearer on demand in gold. Meaning if you want, this is a piece of paper saying there's a gold behind it, and if you want your gold, come into your bank, get it on demand, period. That's it. There's no thing here about if the president decides or Congress decides or your mother calls it in, whatever it is. If you don't want to give it up, you don't have to. And if you want your gold, you're going to get it. But Roosevelt suspended that, allegedly to help us get out of the crash of 1929. Now, he then went on to say, ladies and gentlemen, he said, that act of mine has been declared the act of a bankrupt nation by the international bankers who own our national debt. And they said, you as judges are going to no longer adjudicate cases on the Constitution, but on the Uniform Commercial Code, which shall become the law of this land. But there's one requirement. And he said, and the judges knew what these words meant. He said, from now on, you are to take silent judicial notice of that fact. Now, what do those three words mean? Black's Law Dictionary defines them as well. Black's Law Dictionary says silent judicial notice. In my words, to make it simple, you can't tell the dummies. In other words, you're going to make it sound like it's constitutional, but it can't be because there is no constitution, and you're going to adjudicate on the Uniform Commercial Code. The Uniform
Can I address sure. something right? I think the person in the chat room, let me ask you to do one thing. Go and find out for me if the Federal Reserve is federal.
Oh, no, it's easy. We'll do that in a minute.
Hold on. I'm not talking about what you were saying. I'm just answering the question. If you just do that one thing this week.
Oh, and no, then, I can do it over the phone.
Hold on. I'm talking to the person in the chat room.
Oh, I see. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Just do that one thing for me. Just go see if the Federal Reserve is federal. And then come back in about 2 years from here. Actually, let's say if we even hear... 5 years from here, I'll explain to you why I asked you to find out. You'll find out in the near future. You're going to find out in the near future that the Federal Reserve creates money out of thin air. If that's not a big deal to you, then take a look at your family in the mirror, and I'll do the same thing. Because I'm going to tell you, the Federal Reserve not being federal is a big deal. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about, you can laugh at it, but the Freemasons is not the reason why John Kennedy got shot. John Kennedy got shot is because he tried to take apart the Federal Reserve, and he also tried to return the dollar bill back to the gold standard. That's why he got shot. The Vietnam War also. So if you want to laugh at that, by all means. If you want to laugh at something else, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Jesus said, I should send you a strong delusion. God said, I'll send you a strong delusion in the last days that you'll believe the lie. If you believe 19 hijackers stole 4 planes and dangling around in the air for 45 minutes while other planes shooting it down, and you want to poke fun at this, go for it. But I'm going to tell you this. I will tell you this. The love of money is the root of all evil. Men want to destroy human life, to depopulate the earth. And guess who's behind all of that? Yes, you're right, Satan. So before you think Satan wants to sing Kumbaya and love on human beings, you got to lie there, because he lied to Adam and Eve. He lied to Eve in the garden. Adam bought on to it. And Satan's been lying to people using Hollywood. And you want to laugh about it? Watch The Simpsons. Watch The Simpsons. They got more messages in there than you can ever imagine. Hollywood is telling your child, when you don't even know it, you're not even in the room, Hollywood is telling your child how to think. And then he goes to school. And those kids that he's hanging around has already been brainwashed by Hollywood, and they're birds of a feather flock together. They're teaching each other. And then they go into the classroom and find out that we were raised by apes, that we grew up through a lineage of apes. It's called evolution. So before you laugh that there is a conspiracy, that it's all fun and games until we wake up one morning and the whole world's a different world that we lived in. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end time prophecy in the lines of the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago.
Now, that was John Kennedy. On the next show, I paid the whole thing, but automatically, right off the bat, he was talking about secret societies. If you look at, I have Eisenhower, if you look at, go on YouTube and punch in Eisenhower farewell address. He's going to tell you to be leery of the military-industrial complex. This is not a joke, folks. Now, what does it do to edify the church? Probably nothing. But you know what? It teaches the church one thing, not to trust men. You pray for him. I'm going to pray for Obama. I pray for Obama at least once a week. I pray for his family. I pray for Congress. But we can't go around spinning wheels and then saying every show. I mean, my shows, these shows are going to be accounted to different. It's going to be different people on my show. I mean, I'm not going to. There's going to be times where I'm not. They're not going to be spitting out God, verses. Okay, so like I say, it's very important for us to. I got a sister right now. I can call up right now. She questioned everything I'm doing. Okay, my approach right here on Blog Talk Radio is a lot more relaxable than my approach on Spokane National Radio Programs or WWCR, which is shortwave, which I'll be going on in about a week or two. My approach is a whole lot different. I'll sound a whole lot 100% different in about a week on Blog Talk Radio. You'll be like, that's not the same person. You know why? Because I concealed a lot of what I was I don't really care what people think. I'm going to give the gospel, I'm going to give the true gospel. But however, there are going to be some people. What if I bring an atheist on here? You think he's going to be spitting out biblical? What if I'm trying to prove a point for atheists. I mean, where did we draw the line? Where did we get so? Why did we get so bogged down on to telling somebody else how to do the right, how to do it right, when we're not doing anything? I hope I ain't step on no toes, but you know what? After tonight, I care. I don't really care anymore. I'm gonna step on everybody's toes and step on them really hard, because I've been cautious enough. Okay, there's so many people out there want to be doctors of how they tell a ministry. I don't even get. I haven't even talked to 100,000 people yet. Go out there and call Russ Limbaugh's organization and tell him how to run it. He'll laugh at you. Okay, sorry, man. I got kind of deterred because this chat room stuff is just getting to me. I apologize to you, Ralph. I'd like to get you back on in the near future. And let's go. Let's talk about some of the stuff that you were talking about when I called you about Noah and all this other stuff. Let's just talk about some other things, but I still want to hit on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I want to hit on the stuff that we're talking about now. What can we do with it as Christians in the future?
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
Okay, there's the echo again. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. So I'll be calling you to let you know when the next show. I want you to be on the show.
You're very kind.
Definitely WWCR. I mean, I know you say they don't like you there, but we take a shot at it.
Okay, the echo's gone. May I mention my website?
Yes.
www.ralph-epperson.com. R-A-L-P, is it Petunia, H-dash, Epperson, E-P-P as in Peter, E-R-S-O-N.com. Go there. It's my catalog. Browse, enjoy. If you wish to purchase something, or if you want to call me, the phone number's there. My address is there. Let's keep in touch. I'm trying to do what I can to help save this nation. We're in trouble.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. You have a blessed day.
God bless you. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yep, bye-bye. Okay, that was Ralph Epperson, and a good, nice interview. I wanted to say that this is a good show today, and I have no idea who's going to be on here next Thursday or next Sunday. I know that there's a lot of people lined up. I just haven't prayed about it and figured out who's going to be on here. I enjoy the chitter chat in the chat room. I'm just really kind of, if you go back and listen to some of my shows, the last three shows, you'll probably figure out why I respond the way I respond to people in the chat room. I just had a bad year with people, especially calling in, a very bad year with people calling in and people in the chat room. But I didn't get upset with the person that I was talking to. I was just saying that there's going to be times where I don't have, say, people on here. I might have a senator on. It could be, but I'll pray about it. And if it's needed, that the Christians out there believe, because a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about is going to be for unsaved people, just as well as saved people. But it's not targeted for discipleship. Now, if you see my chat name on there, it says Common Salvation. Well, I have another ministry on Blog Talk Radio. A lady prophesied over me and said that I will go forth and help people. And I don't know, I'm still praying about that as far as addictions is concerned. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I believe that because he set me free from a lot of devices that were bringing me down in my life. And pornography is reigning rampant in our society. So we need to pray for people that they be loose from those. Because Jesus came to set us free, not just for heaven's sake, but for down here. But stick with me on the other side after this theme song, and I'll come back and say a few more words before we leave. God bless. Okay, so the show normally has like a good 25 people in the chat room. I'm going on national, so I'm not even looking for numbers, really. I'm just looking for souls to be saved, to hear it. And that's about it. But people out there, we're going to be having a few guests. I've already talked to a few guests already, over 10 people, and I can't even recall. I know Ray Comfort is one of them. Man, it's a few people. But the 30-minute show in Spokane and the hour show will be based off this, so it'll be a whole different broad game. I would love... you to come on the show, because a little bit later, I talk to you later, just come on, man, because like you were right on the tonight. I wasn't saying you wasn't right. It's just the fact that, like I say, some people gonna come on here that's not, you know, throwing out scripture. I leave that up to myself and some of the other guests that'll be on here. God bless you and your family, man. And like I say, all the ums and stuff that you hear will probably be gone, because I've got to get, and I'm trying to hold on to my tongue and train it and train myself, but it might not work that way. I might just have to come up with the stuff that I want to say. God bless everybody out there. God bless you, bro. You have a wonderful night. And pray. Tell your wife I said hi. Give your kids a hug for me. And God bless.